You're listening to Classical 95.9, WCRI Block Island, Exeter, the classical station.
Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it is indeed a pleasure to welcome a new guest to our studios, our beautiful studios here in downtown Exeter, Rhode Island. Richard Stafford is here. Welcome, Richard.
Hi there, Mike.
Nice to have you with us. Richard is the director of a new presentation that's taking place at Theater by the Sea, Cats. I don't know how new that is, actually. Isn't it a new presentation?
Not terribly new, no.
It's new to Theater by the Sea, at least. And we'll find out all about the presentation of Cats at Theater by the Sea coming up. It's going to open next week, this coming week. So it's soon. It's going to be on June 19th and run all the way to July 13th. We'll give you the information about that. But, Richard, let's find out a little bit about you. I have a resume that I received via email, and it's got a lot of things in it. You've been a lot of places.
Well, I'm old.
Well, no. Now you're talking to me, so relatively you're very young. But let's go back to where this all started from. Did you have interest in school about theater, or how did it start?
I did. I started dance classes when I was about 11. My mother took me to tap dance classes in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And then my interest in dance grew over the years.
Hopefully you were living in Chattanooga.
I was living in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
No.
I grew up in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and began my dancing there, and also studied the piano and singing and that sort of thing, and you know, obviously had an interest in that, and then continued that through college. I went to the University of Tennessee for 2 years, and then I went to London for 2 years and studied there acting. And I was in Paris for a year, also studying acting and dance, and came to New York right after that. That would have been in 1979. And then began performing in musicals, which is what I wanted to do. And I here I am. You know, I performed on Broadway and on tour and regionally, and then began to choreograph in about 1985. My first big show as a performer was Evita, the national tour of Evita. I did that in Chicago and other parts of the country. And then that was the first show that I ended up choreographing, restaging some of the original. And I sort of caught that bug of wanting to choreograph and began to do a lot more of that, and then began to direct in about 1995. And and that brings us to the present, I would say. So you know, over the years, I've been a freelance director and choreographer, and Cats, you know, has been a big part of my life, I'll say.
Well, it's a big production, and it's a favorite of a lot of people. I know a lot of anticipation about Cats coming to Theater by the Sea, and so it's going to be a lot of fun to witness that. I'll be there on Friday night, as usual, the opening night, and I look forward to it. Let's get to a piece of music right off the bat here so that we can talk some more about the show itself. And we're simply going to start with the overture, correct?
That's right. That's right.
All right. We'll start with that and be back with more of Theater by the Sea's presentation of Cats.
Thank you.
listening to the music from Cats, the great musical, coming to Theater by the Sea and opening in preview on Wednesday and Thursday, and then Friday night will be the opening, official opening night. And Nonsense, which played just a couple weeks ago, for a few weeks, was a wonderful, wonderful presentation. That was great. So if you haven't been to Theater by the Sea, make sure you take the opportunity to go down and see Cats. And Richard will be in the lobby handing out Dunkin' Donuts coffee to anyone that asks. Or I don't know what you'll be doing.
But Kit Kat bars.
Kit Kat bars. All right. Well, that's good. And I like Kit Kat bars. I get it. Cats. Okay. Wow. All right. All right. Other than Kit Kat bars or Dunkin' Donuts coffee, we're at Theater by the Sea. We're going to see a presentation, which is, I guess, one of the, I don't want to say more difficult, but certainly more unusually designed or shows. It's not Sound of Music. It's not, you know, Nonsense, where it's pretty simple story and so forth. Cats is Cats. It's very different. How do you approach this as something that if someone hasn't seen it, how would you explain it to them?
Well, that's probably one of the more difficult questions about the show. You know, it's I think back to when it was originally created and presented in New York, and it felt so utterly new. You know, we'd not heard this kind of music before, this synthesized feeling that was, you know, full orchestra, but had these synthesized sounds in parts of it to give it this very otherworldly feel. And I think it's that trying to create this world of the cats, which is what my job is, to create an environment in which humans can become cats. And of course, I've been given all the tools because I learned the show from Gillian Lynn and Trevor Nunn and Lloyd Webber back in 1985 when I joined the company, the First National in Chicago. And what I began to learn was that I had to let go of old ideas of dance and theater, really, and really embrace a new world, a new musical theater world, which was this very large, very and yet intimate, sort of at the same time, creating a world that felt very new to me, a new way of moving, a new way of dancing. It's ballet, jazz, really, but with a lot of mime in it as well, and also telling a story. You know, all of the actors in the show, they're in our production, we have 19 performers, and they all have to act, they all have to sing, they all have to dance, and that was very new. You know, before you kind of had a chorus that would do things, perhaps a chorus line of people that were doing things and a few principals, and they told the story and then on you went. And this is, everyone is creating this cat tribe. So not only do you have that ensemble feel, but you also have to have these exquisitely trained dancers and singers and actors.
Hmm. Wow. That sounds like it's going to be a pretty amazing thing to witness. You know, I'm going to want to talk more about the size of the cast and the theater itself, but let's get to the second piece of music, which is, I know it's Jellicoe Ball. Is that correct?
No, this is called the Jellicoe Songs for Jellicoe Cats. This is
Jellicoe Cats.
Yeah, this is the this is the prologue, really, to the show. It's the opening of the show, and you know what how it starts out is that the story of the show is that the cats come once a year to celebrate in this Jellicoe Ball, and this year is different because there are humans, which is the audience, that are present, and so this is their sort of confrontation of the audience, and then explaining to the audience what a cat is.
Okay, so I wasn't too far off.
No,
it is about the Jellicoe Ball.
It is. That's correct. Right. That's correct.
Here we go.
Are you blind when you're born?
Can you see in the dark?
Dare you look at a king?
Would you sit on his throne?
Can you say of your bite that it's worse than your bark?
Are you cock of the walk
when you're walking alone?
Because Jellicles are and Jellicles do and Jellicles would. Jellicles would and Jellicles can, and Jellicles can and Jellicles.
there's a storm in the air.
Can you find your way blind when you're lost in the street?
Do you know how to go to the heavy side layer?
Because Jellicles can, and Jellicles do. Jellicles do, and Jellicles can. Jellicles can, and Jellicles do. Jellicles do, and Jellicles can. Jellicles can, and Jellicles do.
Can you ride on a broomstick to places far distant, familiar with candle,
with book and with bell?
Were you Whittington's friend,
the Pied Piper's assistant?
Have you been in alumnus of heaven and hell?
Are you mean like a minx?
Are you mean like a lynx?
Are you keen to be seen when you're smelling a rat?
Were you there when the pharaohs commissioned the sphinx?
If you were and you are, you're a Jellicle cat. Jellicle songs for Jellicle cats. Jellicle songs for Jellicle cats. Jellicle songs.
If you're interested in getting tickets for Theater by the Sea's presentation of Cats, you can do so in a couple ways. The easiest way, probably for most people, is to go to the website, which is theaterbythesea.com. Or you can call our friend Vinny at 401-782-TKTS. And Vinny answers the phone. Tell him that Richard and Mike said that you should get a discount. See how that works out for you. That's 401-782-TKTS, or if you want the numbers, that's 8587. And a fun way to get tickets is to actually walk right up to the box office. Go down and visit the theater. It's a beautiful spot, wonderful gardens. There's a great bistro right next door. You can grab some lunch or dinner, and it's just a great spot to do it. So go down, check it out, and make sure you don't miss Cats. Now, getting back to some of the discussion, 19 people involved in your cast, and I'm sure there was a challenge for you when you actually saw the Theater by the Sea space. fitting 19 people back in that space and on that stage is kind of got to be a bit of a task, right?
Well, it is a challenge, but, you know, as I said, it's an intimate piece. There's an intimacy to the piece, which I think really can relate to this stage size. Mm-hmm. And there are different levels. We have different places where the cats can be, or the tribe can be. So I think it's going to work out really beautifully.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Cats was one of the first to be in the feeling of, for example, Lion King,
right?
or now War Horse, is hitting the stage. So Cats really broke a lot of ground where the actors were not people, as you mentioned.
Right.
They're you're going to believe they're cats when you see this. That's the intention, right?
Yes, that's our job. That's our job.
And that groundbreaking of getting people in that kind of imagination really removes the audience from the everyday life of Hello, Dolly, or mm-hmm. Sound of Music, mm-hmm. or Music Man, or one of those traditional types, to putting them somewhere else. How much physical action is involved with the actors? Do they have to be in really good shape?
Yes, yes. We do every morning. We do a warm up at 9:30, and then we do some improvisation. The show is really based a lot of the show is based upon improvisation, certainly a tremendous amount of choreography, really 2 hours of choreography. But within all of that, there is the freedom for them to create their characters through mm-hmm. improvisation. So we go through a lot of different exercises, and it's fun. I think mm-hmm. the cast really enjoys that.
Now, I don't know if I'm asking a question I shouldn't be asking, because I have seen it, but I'm gonna continue to do my role and play dumb here. Are these cats walking around on all fours, or are they walking around?
Both. We do exercises. In the beginning of the improvisation, we'll be on all fours, so that mm-hmm. they get that, be very comfortable down there. And then we find our way to sort of osmose up to the 2 feet, mm-hmm. and so that they're as comfortable on 2 feet as they are on all fours. And so ultimately the audience really does believe, after they've seen a lot of the crawling that continues through the evening, that when they do come up to 2 feet, that it's a natural sort of, I don't know, evolution.
It just happens,
right?
Yeah,
it just happens.
Okay, great. Well, let's get to one more piece before we take our first break, and this is called Naming of Cats. That sounds pretty self-explanatory.
It is. Before the second piece that you heard, where the cats have come in and are sort of speaking about the superiority of cats, at the very end of that, they speak about that for about 5.5 minutes, so it's a fairly long number. At the end of that, they pick out one person in the audience who seems skeptical, and then they sort of hone in on that person and decide to tell them how cats are named. So that's what we go to next.
All right, we'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more of Conducting Conversations and Richard Stafford directing Theater by the Sea's presentation of Cats.
There's a man over there with a look of surprise, as much as to say, well, now, how about that? Do I actually see with my own very eyes a man who's not heard of a Jellicle cat? What's a Jellicle cat?
What's a Jellicle cat? The naming of cats is a difficult matter. It isn't just one of your holiday games. You may think at first I'm as mad as a hatter when I tell you a cat must have 3 different names. First of all, there's a name that the family use daily, such as Peter, Augustus, Alonzo, or James, such as Victor, or Jonathan, George, or Elaine. All of them sensible, everyday names. There are fancier names, if you think they sound sweeter. Some for the gentlemen, some for the dames, such as Plato, Admetus, Electra, Demeter. But all of them sensible, everyday names. But I tell you, a cat needs a name that's particular, a name that's peculiar, and more dignified. Else how can he keep up his tail perpendicular, or spread out his whiskers, or cherish his pride? Of names of this kind, I can give you a quorum, such as Monkey Strap, Craxo, or Corrigo Pat, such as Bomb Ballerina, or S. Jelly Lorum, names that never belong to more than one cat. But above and beyond, there's still one name left over, and that is the name that you never will guess. The name that no human research can discover, but the cat himself knows and will never confess. When you notice a cat in profound meditation, the reason I tell you is always the same. His mind is engaged in a rapt contemplation of the thought, of the thought, of the thought, of his name, his ineffable, ineffable, and ineffable, deep and inscrutable, singular name.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Richard Stafford, who is the director and choreographer of Theater by the Sea's presentation of Cats, opening this week. And Richard, we went a little long in the first segment, so we'll move along this time and listen to some more music from the show and have you explain some of the tunes. This one is interesting, and it's called The Old Gumby Cat, and why don't you tell us about that?
I chose that one because I felt like it sort of brought us to a new feeling in the show. What happens is the cats, the tribe settles in, accepts the fact that there are humans here, and then they go on with their evening, which is a celebration culminating in the Jellicle Ball, which is... But at this point, we're waiting for old Deuteronomy, who's the leader of the tribe, to appear. And Munkustrap, one of the lead characters, has devised an entertainment for the cats. And this is the old Gumby Cat. And so he has created this little show for us that explains what the Gumby Cat is. Hmm. And that's what the song is.
Here we go.
Have a Gumby cat in mind. Her name is Jenny Annie Dots. Her coat is of the tabby kind, with tiger stripes and leopard spots. All day she sits beneath the stairs, or on the steps, or on the mat. She sits and sits and sits and sits, and that's what makes a Gumby cat. That's what makes a Gumby cat.
But when the day's hustle and bustle is done, then the Gumby cat's work is but hardly begun. And when all the family's in bed and asleep, she tucks up her skirts to the basement to creep. She's deeply concerned with the ways of the mice.
Their behavior's not good and their manner's not nice.
So when she has got them lined up on the matting, she teaches them
music, crocheting, and tatting.
I have a Gumby cat in mind. Her name is Jenny Annie Dots. The curtain cord she likes to wind and tie it into sailor knots. She sits upon the windowsill or anything that's smooth and flat. She sits and sits and sits and sits, and that's what makes a Gumby cat. That's what makes a Gumby cat.
But when the day's hustle and bustle is done, then the Gumby cat's work is but hardly begun. She thinks that the cockroaches
need employment
to prevent them from
idle and wanton destroyment.
So she's born from that lot of disorderly louts, a troop of undisciplined, helpful boy scouts,
with a purpose in life and a good deed to do.
And she's even created a Beatles tattoo.
Thank you. As you mentioned, interesting music, not your typical fare for a Broadway show, and orchestration. We talked about that a little bit in the first segment. When this is produced at Theater by the Sea, they're always very proud of the fact that they have live musicians, and this is a great thing. And so make sure if you're able to take in the show, you'll appreciate the live music being played. About how many people do you know? Is there?
Well, I believe that we have six in the pit, including the conductor who's playing playing as well. We have three keyboards, and along with that, one of the keyboard players plays several other instruments, a French horn, I believe, and a flute. I mean, various things. So we're going to get a really wonderful sound from the pit.
Excellent. And one of the things you mentioned that I picked up on that you've used through the whole show, when you talk about the group of cats, you call them a tribe.
Right.
Now, that's not the normal term for a group of cats, right?
Well, I don't know. I think it feels tribal to me. The story of the cats also is that they come from all over, from all areas to participate in this celebration. So there are street cats and feral cats and then also house cats. And they all belong to a certain tribe called the Jellicle cats.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one of those things that people don't necessarily pick up from the show right away, but
This next one is about Tugger.
Right.
Is that another one of the characters?
He is a Rum-Tum Tugger. He's one of the favorites generally. He's a rock and roll cat. And the evening is devised, as I said, of this participation in the Jellicle Ball, and there's been this first number, or the most recent number that we played, which was the old Gumby Cat, is something that was prepared and planned, and then the Rum-Tum Tugger appears, and this is a spontaneous occurrence. So this is not planned for the evenings. This is a disruption of the evening. And the Rum-Tum Tugger loves to disrupt, so that's what this is about.
We'll listen to the disruption.
If you offer me pheasant, I'd rather have grouse.
If you put me in a house, I would much prefer a flat. If you put me in a flat, then I'd rather have a house. If you set me on a mouse, then I only want a rat. If you set me on a rat, then I'd rather chase a mouse.
Rum-Tum Tugger is a curious cat,
and there isn't any need for me to shout it,
for he will do as he did.
Doing anything about it.
The Rum-Tum Tugger is a terrible bore.
Oh, when you let me in, then I want to go out.
I'm always on the wrong side of every door.
As soon as I'm at home, then I like to get about.
I like to lie in the bureau drawer.
Such a fuss if I can't get out.
The Rum-Tum Tugger is a curious cat,
and there isn't any need for you to doubt it,
for he will do as he do,
and there's no doing anything about it.
The Rum-Tum Tugger, curious beast.
My disobliging ways are a matter of a habit.
If you offer me fish, then I always want to feast. When there isn't any fish, then I won't eat rabbit. If you offer me cream, then I sniff and sniff.
For I only like what I find for myself.
So you catch me in it right up to my ears if you put it away on a larder shelf.
On your lap in the middle of your sewing, with nothing I enjoy like a horrible muddle.
and any need for me to spout it.
What he will do, as he did do.
And there's no doing anything about it.
Richard, we normally have time for two pieces in our middle segment, but I think we can squeeze one more in here. So why don't you tell us about another character?
Right. This is the next disruption. So this is not planned. And this is called Grisabella the Glamour Cat. And the Grisabella character is the one who sings Memory later on. Also, I have not chosen Memory to be part of our list because I feel like the audience is, you know, most people really are so familiar with that song. But this is her entrance into the tribe. And her story is that she was part of the tribe, but then she had left and gone off on her own and would like to return to the tribe now. But she is in disgrace because she left the tribe. So this is her story.
All right. We'll listen to that and then be back with more of Theater by the Sea's presentation of Cats. To Conducting Conversations, I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Richard Stafford, the director-choreographer of Cats, opening this week at Theater by the Sea. Found out some interesting things about the music, and one of the other interesting things is that I'm sure the costuming is pretty elaborate for this.
Well, it is, you know, and at the time, it it, like the rest of the show, felt very groundbreaking. It was all unitards, and, you know, how do you make a person into a cat? What can you do costume-wise? Didn't want to add whiskers, didn't want to do that sort of normal thing. So the makeup and the costume design by John Napier, who also did the set, so they very much went hand in hand. And it's these very, you know, obviously close-fitting unitards, tight unitards, which is like the skin of the cat, and with painted, very intricately designed painting on the unitards. And then another element of it, which was very important, was the tail, which was each tail was very different, sort of very nubby. You know, nothing was really fluffy about this. It was all meant to be very real and very, very as authentic as one could without it trying to be pretty or sort of a fluffy cat. You know, it was all much more fierce, I would say. Okay. So that all went into the costume design. And then, of course, the wig, you know, the wig design was a big part of that as well. Each wig went with it. It was made out of yak hair, a stiff sort of bristly feel to it, which is what we have as well. So, you know, all of our certainly sets and costumes here are based on the original design, which, you know, we're very proud of, I would say.
Well, it sounds like something you certainly don't want to miss. So get out to see Cats. It's going to be great. This next tune is also sounds great because it's happy. Tell
That's
us about
it. Right. Well, I chose this one. It's called The Moments of Happiness. This begins the second act. And what's happened is, as where we left off, was that Grisabella has come, and then she's been shunned by the rest of the tribe. They don't want her with them. And then various other things happen throughout the act, culminating in this Jellicle Ball, which is a 10-minute dance, 10 to 12-minute dance. And then at the end of that, that's when Deuteronomy would make the choice. The idea of the evening is that Deuteronomy chooses one cat to be reborn, which is a great honor, and, you know, have another life. Who doesn't want that? So she interrupts this, and the cats leave, and so they're left in disarray. And Deuteronomy speaks, seeing how the cats are treating Grisabella, he speaks about what happiness might be and how to find that. So I chose this because I think that this is very, for me, it speaks so much to how, you know, what we go through to try to find happiness in our life and how ineffable it is. And you try and fail, and discovering even just the defining of happiness is so individual and difficult for every person.
We'll listen to it now.
Happiness, the path.
Richard, I want to thank you a lot for bringing us a lot of insight into the show that's going to be opening this week at Theater by the Sea, Cats. A lot of things I didn't know, that's for sure, and I'm sure our audience appreciated it also. And giving us all that background, we're going to mention one more time, if you'd like to get tickets to Theater by the Sea. By the way, celebrating their 80th year, this is their 80th anniversary at the Barn in Matunic. So if you'd like to get tickets, you can go to theaterbythesea.com or you can call 401-782-TKTS, that's 8587, or walk right up to the box office in beautiful Matunic and get your tickets. After Cats in July on the 17th, Annie will be opening, and then August 14th will be La Cage aux Folles. So you can have a wonderful season at Theater by the Sea and buy tickets for all those things. But first and foremost, make sure you see Cats. And remember, you get your Dunkin' Donuts coffee from Richard or Kit Kat bars in the lobby. One of the things that's great about the theater, I don't know if how much you've experienced yet, Richard, because you haven't opened yet, but the audience is always anxious to meet and greet. And so if you see anybody around, I'm sure they'll be anxious to press the flesh, as they say.
Wonderful. Well, I look forward to it.
All right. And thanks again for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Let's just wrap it up with the last piece of music you've selected.
Okay, this is called The Addressing of Cats, and this is really the coda to the show. What's happened is that Grisabella has returned, and other things have happened, obviously, in Act Two, many other episodes, things. And at the end, the cats are ready to accept her back into the tribe. So this is really about a second chance, you know, the themes of a second chance, the themes of rebirth, and then she actually then is chosen to be reborn. So she's redeemed, really, in her own way and can be reborn. So this is after that has happened as far as her being chosen, and then sort of wraps it up. So Deuteronomy has old Deuteronomy, who makes the choice, has a little final say, really, about what cats are and are not.
There we go. We will listen to that and remind you that Cats is opening this week. So Wednesday and Thursday previews, and then Friday night, the official opening. Once again, we'll listen to this, and thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week on Conducting Conversations.
You've heard of several kinds of cats. And my opinion now is that you should need no interpreter to understand our character. You've learned enough to take the view that cats are very much like you. You've seen us both at work and games, and learnt about our proper names, our habits and our habitat. But how would you address a cat? So first your memory I'll jog, and say I do not hold with that. I say you should address a cat, but always bear in mind that he resents familiarity. You bow and take it. This form. condescend to treat you as a trusted friend. Some little token of esteem is needed, like a dish of cream. And you might now and then supply some caviar or Strasbourg pie, some potted grouse or salmon paste. He's sure to have his personal taste. And so in time you'll reach your aim and call him by his name.
Work has entire to expect these evidence of respect. So is his fist and that is that. That is how you are best. A cat, the cat's entitled to expect his evidence of respect. So is his fist and that is that.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.